Welcome to Solutions OP Clinical Trials Podcast. My name is Olga and I'm the Managing Director of Solutions OP. We are a small team of experienced professionals working on clinical trials in the United Kingdom. I'll use our podcast to discuss hot topics in clinical trials and provide analysis of the latest trends and challenges in pharma and medical device industries, not just in the UK, but globally. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast. In today's episode, we'll discuss wound care. And I have a special guest. My guest is Liz Hose, who is a nurse and she's specialist in wound care. And she's also CEO of Clinical Research Solutions, which is a CRO offering services in that area. And in addition, she's also in the advisory board of the Primary Care Research Alliance. And she's working with primary care physicians as well. So she has experience in this, which is quite unique, you know, to have expertise in different areas. So for those of you who do not know, primary care physicians are GPs, family doctors, and all these people who work in primary care. So welcome, Liz, to this episode, and thank you for taking time in this busy time of the year. And I will start with our first question to ask you to tell me a bit about your team and what kind of services you provide and what you do in general.
Thanks, Olga, and thanks for having me as a guest on your podcast today. So, as you said, we run a CRO, and for those that don't fully understand what that means, we provide trial management services from beginning to end, essentially. As you said, I'm a nurse by background, and we're a clinician-led team, so the people that work with us are kind of grounded in clinical research delivery, so they've all had some sort of background working in research delivery. So it kind of makes us, enables us to look at the studies from a pragmatic patient healthcare pathway focused point of view. And as you know, we provide the usual CRO services for clinical research, but we also do smaller service evaluations, case study series, and as you said, work very closely with the Primary Care Research Alliance to do that.
That's brilliant, Liz. And that's, I think it's something that is very unique of the services that you provide, because majority of the CROs, they don't necessarily work with patients. They're more like a mediator between the hospitals and the pharma companies. Well, in your case, you are actually directly involved with patients as well. So you have this specific experience with patients, which I think it's really beneficial. And probably you can say a few words. Do you see this as something different, as a positive thing, that you have experience working with the patients and not just being like the middleman, if you want to put it that way?
Yeah, I really do. And I think having done a lot of the research delivery side of things, it does mean that when it comes to designing studies and knowing if they're actually going to work. I mean, when I was delivering clinical research, you could tell that the clients and commercial companies that had that input into their protocols, and we would review them as they came in, and some of them you just kind of thought, this is just never going to work in the healthcare system, this is not going to work for patients, this is too much of a burden for them. So it gives us that kind of pragmatic, patient-focused side of it. And also, I love doing both as well, and I love still having a hand in doing the delivery. I love seeing patients. It means that I get to not only kind of manage the research, but on the other side of it, see the difference that it's actually making to patients. And our home wound care service that we have means that we can deliver parts of what's done through clinical research solutions. It means that we have, because we've got CQC registration, it means that we can do other clinical aspects to the CRO work that we do. So we do clinical quality oversight, we do education and training for some of the nurses in wound care. We have patient, nurse, clinician focus groups, we do PPI groups. So it gives us kind of a broad ability, and we work closely with our clinicians as well, so particularly through the Primary Care Research Alliance. So when we're talking about studies and we're looking to develop them and how they're going to practically be delivered, we're doing that alongside our patients and our clinicians and the pathway. So yeah, I think it really helps that then you get a study that is being delivered to patients that's actually going to really work. It's got patient focus in mind, which can sometimes be lacking. Obviously, these innovations are all for patients, but when you don't have that input, sometimes the sight of that is kind of can get a bit lost. So yeah, so it really does it does help a lot, I think, in what we do.
Thank you, Liz. Yeah, that's brilliant, and it's really good. I think it's a very good model, as generally to help not just the industry but the patients as well at the same time, and have a good oversight of what's happening. But I think I want to discuss a little bit about wound care as a specialty, because I think it's more or less maybe not seen as something very prospective, and is something very important in healthcare. You know, we all talk about cancer, we talk about respiratory diseases, but wound care, it's kind of fall through the cracks somehow.
And yeah, right, absolutely. And it is so important. I mean, so just for some statistics, so it's around 3.8 million people in the UK have a wound, which is like 7% of the adult population. And the cost to the NHS is huge. It's about 8 billion a year. So that obviously, it does have a huge impact. As half of community nurse time is spent healing wounds. So when it comes to, you know, the patients, it's a massive, massive problem. It's a massive problem for patients. And, you know, the experience for myself of seeing these patients that suffer with chronic wounds, chronic leg ulcers, it has an enormous impact on their lives. It prevents them from doing the things that they should be able to do. And that can kind of drive other chronic diseases as well, because, you know, they're immobile, you know, they're in pain, they can have pain medication that can cause falls, that puts more pressure on the NHS, they can, you know, break their hip. It's a driver for many other things as well. And for some patients, they are housebound by it. You know, they can't really leave the house. So it's a huge factor. It does have a huge impact. And when you really sit and talk to patients about it, you really truly understand the impact that it has. For them, for their families. So yeah, a big problem, problem in the UK.
And if you think about it, it's just not wounds caused by, I don't know, some diseases or something. You have to think about wounds in terms of surgery. So basically all the patients who have surgeries, they also have wounds that need recovering.
Absolutely.
Not to mention that in a global aspect, if you look into this from a global point of view, there's so many wars and there's so many people who have wounds. So I think wound care should be kind of a priority area where people should invest and companies should invest. So what is the current situation with the available commercial products for wound care? Do you think they're sufficient? Do you think there's some unmet needs, something that is needed more for patients in this case?
So I think, the National Wound Care Strategy guidelines, I mean, they've been worked on over the last few years, and they really demonstrate that the wound care that patients are receiving isn't good enough, and it could be better, and how that could be better. It's very localized at the moment, the wound care that's provided to patients, and it depends on what practice they're at, what surgery they're at, how they're receiving that care. It might be community care as to the care that they receive. And the wound care strategy really kind of outlines the need for more evidence for wound healing rather than wound management. And it's interesting because one of the biggest conferences is called the European Wound Management. and actually, it should be healing, because I think that focus is shifting, but I think it needs to shift more. And there is a delay for patients in diagnosis. So patients that have chronic leg wounds, they will maybe not know that they have sort of some sort of disease in their veins or their arteries that's going to cause them a problem. They cut their leg and then that develops into an ulcer, and they just dress it themselves and they deal with it at home. And there's a lack of understanding and education. I think, you know, globally, there's an understanding of what a heart attack is and how to deal with it, and, you know, and what to do and what the signs and symptoms are. But for wounds, for chronic wounds, that's not the case. So education is a big factor. But the care that's received, I think, across the UK is so varied, and there's numerous reasons for that. But the focus is probably very much on innovations that manage wounds, so dressings, different types of dressings. They absolutely have a place, and they absolutely treat certain kinds of things, antimicrobial dressings for if there's some sort of infection, that kind of thing. Dressings that can have a positive impact on healing. But there's less innovations coming into the NHS of those other things like devices that can make a difference, and other pharmaceuticals that can be impregnated into dressings that can make a difference. The problem is that non-healing wounds that causes infection, that's a broad problem. Of antibiotic use, antibiotic resistance. It can cause amputation, people to need amputations. It reduces their quality of life. You know, there needs to be some more focus really on the innovations that are going to make a big difference to the wound healing. And that is where we're starting to see more innovations coming through. But there are, it can be challenging in terms of the NHS to bring those innovations in for a variety of reasons. But I would say there's also digital tools that could definitely be used. The integration of digital documentation across different systems. A patient with a wound is not just seen within a primary care practice, a GP practice, or the community. They will be seen in a hospital setting potentially as well by maybe the vascular team, or and that digital documentation doesn't pass on with the patient. Things like documenting the wound. So a lot of that is written documentation. There are new digital platforms that can be used for photographing, measuring wounds, assessing wounds, and they would be very useful in being able to kind of integrate those systems between primary and secondary care when to make the patient pathway a bit more smooth and beneficial to them. And there needs to be the digital innovations, I think, that are coming forward, and those new devices that are improving wound healing, there's definitely a place for them. I have an experience that I had with the patient. The patient that we treated, we were looking at an electronic stimulation device, and the patient had the wound for about 9 years, had a pain score of 9 out of 10, and was ready to have her leg amputated because she couldn't cope with it anymore. It was so bad. And it was impacting her life so significantly. And we used this electrical stimulation device on her, and she healed, the wound healed within 12 weeks, and she had no pain. And these are the sorts of innovations that really need to get into the NHS. But I can talk about the issues around that.
No, that's truly amazing. No, if you think about it, it's that's really amazing achievement. For I'm sure that patient is very happy.
It changed her life entirely. Absolutely changed her life, and she kept her leg, most importantly, as well, because that was the next step for her, was just to go and say, "Just take it off. I can't deal with it anymore."
Can you imagine? That's quite a horrible thing. Yes, no. So we definitely need, you can tell for sure from your example, you know, we definitely need something that could help patients who have particularly those chronic wounds that have no healing, basically, unless something's done specifically. And what do you think, I know it's a tricky question, but what can we do to attract more research in wound care in the UK? Do you have any recommendations or any thoughts on the?
That's a really good question. And I think, I think there's a research in the UK has become a bit more of a problem. And I think, you know, the process, the speed of the process across the UK and the NHS, the lack of capacity within the NHS to do research is a problem. So the sorts of things that we're seeing is the National Institute of Health Research, the NIHR, are implementing grants for development of research services in primary care. And they're able to develop research centres so that they can take the time and they've got the capacity to actually do research. I think there's a greater understanding of the importance of research, and primary care has not really been a key place to do research, but it's up and coming, absolutely. And, you know, we see that through our Primary Care Research Alliance. There are so many GPs, nurses, primary care physicians that want to do research. They want to be actively involved in it, but they don't necessarily have the resources, and it's reasonably underfunded. But that's where the commercial side of it comes in. If they are getting an income to support the staff that need to deliver it, then that makes a big difference, and it enables them to broaden their research services. So that's really important. If that becomes a what came first, the chicken or the egg situation, you know, the money to invest into it and therefore to broaden the ability to do it, or doing it, having the capacity to do it. So that's a challenging one. But I think that is changing, and there's definitely a bit more capacity. I think collaboration is a big key factor, and collaboration between industry, between clinicians, between and the NHS is to be able to scale innovations and really do the research well. There has to be that collaboration that happens. And that is happening increasingly, I think. So I think that's improving in the UK. Obviously, it's difficult to attract that in when the current situation is as it is. This, when I say about speeding up the process, obviously there's the new guidelines that are going to be implemented on the combined review through the MHRA and REC, that those timelines being updated. And I think that will also have an impact, because there'll be more account for, you know, timeliness of starting commercial studies, and getting patients recruited. I think those timelines are already there, but this is putting a kind of a highlight on that and saying that it's currently not good enough and it needs to get better. And I think that will improve drawing commercial research into the UK as things, you know, speed up.
I have to say here on the timelines, because I've been working long enough on this, basically back in the days, we were able to set up a clinical trial within 4 months. I mean, that was a very good performance for us to do. And then things kind of slipped, especially during the COVID, you know, things took a very long time.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of trying to get back on track on these 4 months. But my personal view is that we can do better. The problem, the biggest problem is always the hospital's resources and the internal processes. This is what is holding things back. But in terms of timelines, I think the regulators are doing quite well at the moment. So I don't necessarily have any complaints about them, but I wish we can be a bit more organized in terms of hospitals and how things are managed internally.
And I think that comes down a lot to, you know, the setup should be happening during the approval time. That's what we do. We're within the Primary Care Research Alliance. That's what we do. If we know there's a study that's going for approval, we will be getting that site ready and setting it up ready to go when that gets approved. And, you know, there needs to be more of a shift towards that, because it's difficult to see how that delay can happen time and time again. And that's a change in the processes and I guess the prioritizing of when you start that planning and when you start that setup within a sort of a clinical care setting. It's difficult with the timelines because, you know, I always think of the 4-hour rule in A&E and how basically just demoralized everybody because it didn't mean they were more capable of getting patients through A&E any quicker. But it did lead to processes being put in place that sped up those patients through A&E, and hopefully this will start to have the same impact and that it won't just demoralise NHS services even further, because let's face it, they are struggling and they are at capacity. But I think going back to the NIHR kind of grants and things that are becoming available for improving research, that will make a difference because time will be funded to deliver these research services. And okay, you could say, well, how can they just suddenly have more time? It's not about that. It's about being able to fund, dedicated research staff into those roles, have a dedicated research facility that means that they're not competing for clinic space. Hmm. But what I found and continue to find, really, is that in the NHS, there can be a lack of understanding of the importance and the benefit of doing clinical research, not just for patients, but for the hospital as a whole or the GP practice as a whole. And it's, at the end of the day, the NHS is an enormous business, and the commercial research that comes into it feeds income in so that other services can be improved. So I think there needs to be more education for the NHS services around why it's important and how it's important. And I think that will drive it even further. These things always take time. They do take time.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that we definitely need more education and people need to understand a little bit more about research, not only as an income, but it's also as a treatment options for patients, which is, I think it's a big thing because, more or less you have a limited budget, how much you can invest in new drugs and clinical trials actually give access to patients to new drugs and devices that otherwise it might take years until you get them. So yes. I think it from that point is also very critical that people understand the importance of research. But going back to the wound the care and treatment, so how can digital health and remote monitoring improve the outcome of wound care? Do you have any insights, anything that you would like to share on this?
So I recently did a talk at the RCNI conference, and it was around use of a digital tool for wound care assessment. And we were talking to a group of nurses, mostly nurses, who were delivering wound care from different settings on a daily basis, and they all had different issues that could be quite easily resolved with some sort of digital innovation that was going to, for example, link up services. It would enable a smoother patient pathway. It would enable nurses to, for example, monitor a wound more carefully. We know that nurses don't see the same patient time and time again these days. Not always, sometimes they do, but you don't have your named nurse, you don't have the nurse that you always see necessarily these days, and without these digital abilities to document and photograph, and it's difficult for the nurses to see what's happened before and how that wound is progressing, what impact the treatment is having on the wound. The nurses that were there were really excited to be able to potentially have these platforms, these digital innovations, and we were looking with them at how they could be implemented into their practice. It's not just kind of digital assessment, it's monitoring of patients in various different areas, but in wound care, compression bandaging, how are we monitoring compression, how are we ensuring that patients are receiving the gold standard care at all times? These are all things that, you know, digital innovations can make a big difference, integrating pathways. I think it's a huge, huge area, a challenge to, I think, as we know, the NHS is a bit behind on becoming electronic. Mm. But those electronic patient records are now coming to the forefront, and there is more ability to integrate electronic documentation. So I think in wound care, it could have a massive impact, you know, and it speeds things up. It makes it more efficient. It gives patient ownership as well. So to be able to monitor their own wounds, take ownership of their own care. I've seen that in studies that we've done. You know, you give them the tools to be able to do it, and you educate them about their wound care and why these different things that they need to do are important, putting their legs up, immobilizing, all those sorts of things. And they suddenly engage much better with it. They're much more compliant with their care, which then improves their wound healing. So yeah, there's absolutely a place for the digital world in wound care.
Maybe because they can see themselves how the wound is changing. If they can document it and some kind of monitor it themselves, probably it will make a lot of difference. And as well for nurses, because I work on some surgical studies as well, and you can see that they need to have the pictures and everything to see how the wound is healing. It is important for the team to know what's happening. Yeah,
absolutely. And it needs to be a combination of things as well. So, you know, it's not just one innovation is going to rule the wound care world, or that it's going to make, you know, one thing is not going to make all the difference, but combined together, they do make a big difference. And yeah, I mean, an example, when we were monitoring compression pressure that was being delivered, and the patients could see what their own pressures were, and they knew that they needed to be kept at this particular optimum level for them, and they would have a look, even though we were not asking them to, they'd start having a look to see, oh, what is it today? And these are people who I never thought would be able to use an iPad, you know, but then they start using it all the time. They get quite excited about it, and then they can see, oh, my, you know, the pressure has gone maybe, for example, higher because I haven't put my legs up today. I must do that. And so it will drive them to do the things that they need to do, because they can visually see the difference that it's making. And yeah, and being able to monitor themselves, like what their wound looked like. It's going to be feel like very slow progress, wound healing. It is a slow progress. And when they can see the difference, when you kind of show them a picture of, well, 3 weeks ago it looked like this, and look at it today, that's really motivational for them to be able to see that. And also to know if maybe a treatment has been changed and it doesn't suit them. That's also equally as important. But now they know, okay, that dressing isn't very good for my legs. So that's equally as important as well. So.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's really, really interesting. Yeah, I had no idea. But that's amazing to hear that it actually helps. And even people who are not that techie, as we like to call them, even they feel comfortable with this.
It's amazing. You'd be surprised. You know, and I take on that we had bias in that. We really thought that because, you know, a lot of the chronic leg wound patients that you know, have these wounds, they are an older population. And the realism is they're not tech savvy in general. If they're, you know, in their 70s, 80s, some are, some aren't. It really varies. But some don't even have the internet at home. You know, that's normal. And I think that's important for innovations as well. They have to be really user friendly. And when they're very intuitive systems, patients can use them. They just make sense. They're very simple. They just click this button, click this button. You know, it's not, you make them simple and patients really actually really enjoy it. There's some that are quite resistant to it, but actually if they try it, they find it better. And we are treating this population now, but let's face it, in 10 years time, our 60 year olds are going to be 70, our 70 year olds are going to be 80. And we will have sort of, you know, people who are more tech able using them as hopefully they get, you know, broadly put into the NHS so that they become more broadly available. So fingers crossed.
Yes, fingers crossed. That sounds really positive. So thank you so much, Liz, for your time today and to talking about this with me. It's really interesting to learn about the importance of wound care, what kind of things are available at the moment, and what is the future of it. You gave us a very good oversight of this, and I would like to thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you to our listeners.